2 Timothy chapter number 2, tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 2. There's a song we sing sometimes, if you're saved and you know it, say, amen. If you're saved and you know it, one of the things you have found, no doubt, is that living the Christian life, walking the Christian walk, is not easy. It's not easy. God has not called us to easiness. God will walk with us and God will be there as our yoke bearer with us. Because He said, take my yoke upon you. But we need to walk with God if we're going to have that yoke borne with the Lord. And we find that it's not an easy path that we trod. By the way, anything worthwhile that's easy, anything that's worthwhile isn't easy. Let me rephrase that. It's always more difficult. And listen, if you play a basketball game or a football game, and the opposing team, they just lay down, it's not much accomplishment, is it, after you've won that game? You just wonder, why did this college team play a kindergarten team? You wonder sometimes. But when you have two that are tremendously equal in comparison, and they get out there and they battle with each other, what do we find? We find that it can be very difficult, but it makes it much more worth it. Matter of fact, you can lose a game like that and be more excited because you did your very best. And so we find that God's not called us to easiness. I want us to look tonight in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We're just going to kind of take a verse of time here this evening. God uses analogies. God uses parables. God uses illustrations to help us to understand about Him and His Word. There are so many things that the Lord does as He's teaching us. I love the parables of the Lord. He takes a story. He takes a situation. He takes that and uses that to teach us. Peter, he said, should we pay taxes? The Lord said, yeah, go catch a fish. And he catches a fish, there's a coin in his mouth. And what's the Lord trying to teach us? If you and I are going to, if we're going to go fishing for the Lord, He's going to help us through life. There's some application there. And we find these things all through the Word of God. In this chapter, He uses 8 different analogies to help us to better understand that the ministry is not for the weak, is not for the feeble-hearted. God wants some real men and some real women. God's not looking for or does not really have much, how can I say it this way, much time for those who are weak. Oh, God will strengthen. But God wants some people who will stand up to the task. Well, let's look here. Verse number 1 says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We find, first of all, that God here calls us a son. If you're saved tonight, when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you became a son of God. And that teaches us something. That teaches us that we have a relationship with God. And if you have a relationship with somebody, it means that that relationship must be maintained. It doesn't just go on by accident. It means we have to devote some time. We have to devote some energy. We have to give ourselves to it. And so He says here, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. Allow me to have part in your life that you might be strong. And by the way, you and I, one of the things we need to remember so desperately as a child of God is that we are sons of God. We are part of His family. He is our Father. He is the one who is the strong one, and His grace is available to us. But notice verse number 2. He says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. God has called us to sonship, but God has also called us to teach. Teaching is not easy. Teaching is not just somebody standing up and giving a bunch of words. It's a way in which we are trying to communicate truth. And sometimes we've got to use a lot of different means in order to communicate that truth. And to be a teacher, one must be committed to the task. God wants you and I to teach the Word of God. He has called us to that, every one of us. You say, well, I'm a Christian, but God didn't call me to pastor. No, but God called you to teach. Isn't the great commandment about you and I going and teaching all nations? Aren't we to tell others about Christ? If we're telling about Christ, are we not teaching? And we have this obligation. And teaching means there must be commitment. There must be faithfulness. God doesn't reward our abilities, for they were His gift to us. Is God going to reward me because I'm tall? God made me that way. God going to reward you because you are strong physically? No, God made you that way. Whatever it is, God made us in those ways. God doesn't reward us according to the abilities He's given us. But God does want you and I to have something about us. And when it comes to giving the Word of God, we need to be committed. We need to be faithful to it. We can give Him some of our time, but He has given us all of ours. We can give Him some of our lives, but He has given us all of our lives. He doesn't want some of this and some of that. He's looking for someone who will give Him everything, all the time, someone who is faithful. And so He says here, commit thou to faithful men. What's He teaching us here? As teachers, we're to teach the next generation, and we're to teach them and give them and get them to a faithful spot where they can then teach it to others also. And thus it propels itself down through the ages. That is our responsibility. I'm thinking very, very strongly of Sunday, morning, Sunday, evening, I'm not sure which one. I believe that God has called daddies especially to this ministry. It's our responsibility. And too often we allow this thing to go on without our input or our part in it. We are to teach the Word of God. Notice verse 3 and 4. God only calls us to this place of sonship and this place where you and I are going to teach. But notice verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. God has called us not to easiness, but to this position of soldiering, if I can use that term. We're in a place of contention. A soldier's got to be tough. He trains extensively that he may be in shape for everything that opposes him. And there's much out here that's seeking to destroy us. A soldier's willing to expose himself to the enemy. We can't stay in the foxhole forever. I think about Jonathan. He had to come out of the foxhole, didn't he? And reveal himself to those Philistines, about 20 of them. And God did a wonderful miracle through that. A soldier knows that death is a great possibility, and he'd rather die than run. He knows that if he be wounded, he heals that he might fight again. And he might even have to continue fighting hurt. I must tell you, I get a little almost embarrassed sometimes. How many of you watch football? Some of you watch football. Oh, I've been hearing that this is a horrible sport for us to be watching. And anyways, I watch a little bit of football. And one of the things I sometimes hear the commentator, he says, well, so-and-so, he's playing hurt. And I'm thinking to myself, he's making $600,000 for this game. Why should he be sitting on the sideline? I've played a lot of games hurt, not necessarily a football game, but we do a lot of things in life that way. Isn't that true? And for the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, if we are a soldier, we must endure hardness. And so sometimes there's going to be times we are playing hurt. A soldier's under orders. He's obedient to another and seeks to please his commander. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, be a good soldier, not an ordinary average one. It's interesting when you read the mighty men of David. As he looks at and he lists those mighty men, so often it goes back and it says, attain not unto the first three. I mean, there were some really tough guys. But you and I, we must endure. We must contend. Notice verse number 5. He goes on. He gives us another illustration. This life as a Christian is not an easy life. We as sons must what? Get the grace of God or we'll never make it. You and I as teachers must be people who are committed, faithful right unto the end. As soldiers of Jesus Christ warring against the evil one. And in verse number 5 it says, and if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. He's talking about the athletes. And how the athlete must have this constancy, how he must keep at it. And by the way, if you notice something about that athlete, he must do it lawfully. He's got to do it within certain parameters. We can't do it just the way we want to. We must do it God's way. An athlete must train. An athlete must practice. An athlete must be in shape for the job that's before him. And God tells us here that we ought to, if we're going to follow that example, strive for the masteries. If you notice verse number 6, it says, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. A husbandman, a farmer. How many of you grew up on the farm? Any of you grew up on a farm? None of you did? Am I the only one? As a little boy, my daddy was a farmer. Did you raise your hand? You did or you didn't? You did? Really? Your daddy a farmer? Your mom's side this time, okay? And the one thing that I noticed with my dad was it was very hard work. It's changed in the last few years. Not that it's not hard work any longer, but there are things that are different today. For instance, I remember that we would eat breakfast about 6 o'clock in the morning. Dad would be coming back in from already having spent an hour out in the barn feeding the animals and milking the cows. Every day, he would milk 7 cattle. Not with those pumps, but by hand. How many have ever milked a cow? A few. Alrighty. I used to love, in the evening, I never went out there in the morning when Dad was milking cows. I was still snoozing. But he'd come back in, and boy, he would be ready for a big old hot breakfast. And Mom would have generally a big bowl of oatmeal and sometimes, you know, some other things there. She believed in big breakfast. I heard that since I was a little kid. Got to eat a big breakfast, and I haven't been doing that lately. And he'd come back in, and then he'd go back. And there'd be still more chores to do. And if it was time to do the work in the fields, it would be get the tractor ready. In earlier days, and I can barely remember this, getting the horses ready to go out and do the work. I can remember my daddy picking corn by hand. I mean, can you imagine? Working all day long to having the team walk down the rows, and he would be pulling those husks off one at a time. How many have ever pulled an ear of corn off of a stalk? That is not easy work if you do that day in and, I mean, hour after hour, day in and day out. And throw that corn into that wagon. And then bring it back and have to dump it out of the wagon and basically remove it pretty much by hand. We did have an elevator that would dump it into, and that elevator would take it up and drop it down into the grain or into the grain chute. We used to do that with cob and everything on it. It was hard work. I remember when my daddy would go out and plow. Today they go run by one time. But in those days, he'd go out and plow. He'd come back with a disc and go through the entire field with a disc. Then he would come back with the harrow and go through the entire field with a harrow. When he got done with that, he would bring the planter out and he'd go down through the field. And we had a new big-time double bottom plow. Not one, but two. Can you imagine that? And he was so proud of that thing. But all day long, back and forth, back and forth, all through the spring. I remember harvest time. I remember as all the guys from the different farms would get together, and especially haying time, and there'd be six or eight of them, and we'd do this field and that field, and even as a little boy, I got out there. My very first job was driving the tractor. I got paid 50 cents a day. That blows the minds of your grandkids. What I don't tell them is, I would have done it for nothing. I just love driving the tractor. It was hard work. How many have ever put up hay? That's hard work, isn't it? Yeah. Hard work. What are we talking about? It's not easy as a Christian. It's like a husbandman. He's got to do it. And he says here that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. In other words, he has to stay on top of it. He's got to stay with it until the fruit comes. He works and he works and he works. And he can put in 4 or 5 months of work before he gets any paycheck. So it's hard work and it's patience. Drop down with me to verse number 15. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have students in here. Is being a student easy? It's hard work. The Bible says, study is a weariness to the flesh. Would you agree with that? And I know the common mantra so often is this. Kids come home and say, "Oh, I'm really tired." And mom and dad say, "Wait till you get a real job." And what we mean by that is, it's going to last a lot longer than 5 or 6 hours with recess in between. But listen to this, mom and dad. Schoolwork is hard work. It's not easy. And so we're looking at, listen, God's saying, hey, listen, as a Christian, we are, what, studying to show ourselves approved unto God. He says, a workman. Now, this is not any ordinary kind of workman. One that needs not to be ashamed. In other words, he is studying the Word of God till he gets this thing right so he knows how to rightly divide it. In other words, he knows how to go to it and find the answers to the problems that are in life. They might be able to compare Scripture with Scripture. Verse number 20 talks about something else. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. He's talking about a vessel. You and I, if we are saved, we are a vessel. We're taking the Word of God. But there's something that must be done with that vessel. It must be cleansed. Washing dishes easy? Or you just throw up one of those things and it just... We had a dishwasher once. My wife thinks that dishwashers are a waste of time. Says it takes more work to get the dishes ready to put them in the dishwasher than it does just get the thing out and scrub them down and do it up. I really don't have much idea of it because I'm kind of allergic to dishwater. Any of you guys like that? We got some gals' hands going up. All right. It's not easy work. But if you and I are going to bear the proper message, then we need to allow God to do that cleansing in our lives. That's not easy. Because it's more than just a dish rag that God uses on us. Because you and I, we get such things built up on us that God has to bring out the chisel. He's got to bring out the rasp. God has to take the sandpaper to us sometimes. And so it's not an easy job. But God expects that with us. But notice lastly, and we're going to look at verse number 24, 25 and 6. It says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance through the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." He says, we have a job like a servant. It takes real character. Because we have to do whatever it is necessary to seek to rescue the perishing. In meekness, he said, instructing those that oppose themselves. Most of us, we could probably say, people are really stupid. How many would agree with me? Guess what I am? I'm a people. We really do some stupid things, don't we? We have some pretty stupid thoughts sometimes. We oppose ourselves sometimes. And God says that we have a responsibility to seek to help folks who are like that. It's not easy work. God wants you and I, as His people, to understand this is a job that takes diligence. This is a job that requires you and I to be faithful unto the end. It requires you and I to give it everything we have and then cry out to God for His grace and His help, because we can't even do it very well ourselves. But thank God He has grace for us. Amen. Yeah. And you and I, we can accomplish the work that God has for us. This chapter wasn't written because it's impossible. This chapter was written because it is possible. And though it be difficult, it is very doable. And that's what God wants you and I to be about, His business. Amen. His business. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for this tremendous word, this chapter. Lord, we know tonight that You have commanded us to endure hardness as a good soldier. Lord, we know that You expect us to teach. We know as Your sons that we're representative of the family of God. Oh God, we understand that we are a vessel to carry about this wonderful word, that we're to study it. And Lord, we recognize tonight that the task before us is in many regards daunting. And yet we know You've asked us to do it, not because we can't, but because it's possible. Lord Jesus, I pray that You just work these things in our hearts and our lives. Encourage us as we go from day to day, realizing that we have the wondrous grace of God to take us through. We love You tonight. We praise Your holy name. In His name we do pray. Amen.